Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Supoji Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridasa Thakura Ki Jai. Prem Shukaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopina Shaima Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Suridham Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Jamuna Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaura Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Guru, all glories to Sri Prabhupada and Mohan, Vishnu Padaya Krishna Sai, Guru Lishi Mansi Bhakti Naja Swami, Sri Sarasvati Devi. Arjuna said, "My dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt and am prepared to act according to your instructions." Let me read just the last paragraph. Krishna consciousness is acting according to Krishna's order. Krishna consciousness is acting according to Krishna's order. A conditioned soul, illusioned by the external energy of matter, does not know that the Supreme Lord is a master who is full of knowledge and who is the proprietor of everything. Whatever he desires, he can bestow upon his devotees. He is the friend of everyone, and he is especially inclined to his devotee. He is the controller of this material nature and of all living entities. He is also the controller of inexhaustible time, and he is full of all opulences and potencies. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can even give itself. One who does not know him is under the spell of illusion. He does not become a devotee, but a servitor of Maya. Arjuna, however, after hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, became free from all illusion. He could understand that Krishna was not only his friend, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he understood Krishna factually. So to study Bhagavad Gita is to understand Krishna factually. When a person is in full knowledge, he naturally surrenders to Krishna. When Arjuna understood that it was Krishna's plan to reduce the unnecessary increase in population, he agreed to fight according to Krishna's desire. He again took up his weapons, his arrows and bow, to fight under the order of the Supreme Personality of God. Krishna consciousness is acting according to Krishna's order. Arjuna Vajanasto Moha Sutilanda Twatprasada Mayajita Sitosmi Gandhasandeha Karishye Vajanandara. Arjuna said, "My dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt and am prepared to act according to your instructions." And then we're going to run right after this. Sanjaya is going to tell us that wherever there's Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there's Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. How would we like to have that in our life? Would you like to have that in your life? I'd say opulence. Everybody wants opulence, yes? at least you want the opulence of renunciation if you're, yeah, if you're really indoctrinated thoroughly in the Hare Krishna movement. At least you want that opulence. So opulence, victory. Everybody want victory? Anybody want to be defeated? No, nobody wants to be a failure. And if you bring up your kids, make sure you grow up to be a failure. So we don't like victory. Extraordinary power. Everybody likes some extraordinary power? And Shri Prabhupada says, everyone has some extraordinary talent, and to serve Krishna with one's extraordinary talent means successful life. And morality, would everybody like a life of morality and fairness and ethics? Yes. At least we want everyone to treat us morally. Maybe we don't want to treat everybody else morally, but at least we would like to be treated morally. So why is it that whenever there's Krishna and Arjuna, there's going to be all opulence and victory and extraordinary power and fairness? Because Arjuna acts according to Krishna's order. Because Arjuna acts according to Krishna's order. And Prabhupada's explaining here in this purport, why does that work? I mean, if you all act according to my order, we won't have that effect. But if we act according to Krishna's order, because he's all these wonderful things. He's full of knowledge, he owns everything, whatever he desires, he can give you, he can even give himself, control our time, inexhaustible time, full of all opulences, all potencies. So if you follow the order of someone like that, if you follow the order of the person who made everything, of the person who controls everything, of the person who's the master of everything, of the person who knows everything, and the person who totally, absolutely, and completely loves you, then you're going to get everything, yes? So that is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is acting according to Krishna's order. Such a simple thing, but it seems to be a very difficult thing. It seems to be a very difficult thing. Even in ordinary life, if I want to have a good relationship with someone, I have to please them. Isn't that a fact? We seem to have a very difficult time pleasing other people. Generally, we have to admit that generally, when we so-called try to please other people, we're really thinking about ourselves. So not that long ago, I was in a very different part of the world, and some girl came up to me and said, "Oh, Rila, I'd really like to have this DVD of my guru." He's not even a guru in his time. And I just said to her, right, trying to be polite, I said, "Well, I don't have an optical reader in my computer, so I can't watch the DVD." She said, "Well, please take it anyway." I said, "Well, what will I do with it? Because I have no machine with which to watch it." And she said, "Well, I really want you to have it." I said, "But I can't watch it. Please, I want you to have it," she said. So, you know, I took it. I had to throw it away, because what was I going to do with it? I couldn't give it to anybody else, and I couldn't watch it. And it's funny, I just told that story in Phoenix, and no kidding, I wish I was making this up, I really wish I was, but the next day in Phoenix after the class, I really wish I was making this up, some man came up to me after the class and said, "No kidding, folks, here's a DVD of my guru. I'm really not making this up. Yes, he's a follower of Sankaracharya, and I know you guys aren't really into him, but I thought you might want to watch it." And I said, "I don't have an optical character, so I have an optical reader in my computer." And he said, "But I really want you to have it." So who are these? Some kind of weird karma. So who are they giving the gift for? Are they giving it for me? Are these people giving a gift to me? Or are they doing it for themselves? They're doing it for themselves. Isn't that interesting? And factually, most of the time that we serve others, if you analyze, most of the time we serve others, it's not usually quite that gross and obvious, although of course it wasn't obvious to these people. But generally, we're doing things really for ourselves. That's why Srila Prabhupada says that our so-called loving relationships in this world are not entirely loving. And of course, we're doing this with other jivas because ultimately, we're doing this also with Krishna. We come to Krishna and say, "Krishna, I'm going to serve you the way I want to serve you." And we're coming to Krishna to get something. We're not really coming to Krishna to please him. We're coming to Krishna for our own purposes. And Krishna says, on the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, I'm not just trying to criticize everybody. It's just, that's what Krishna says. He says, people come to me. He's talking about me too. It's not like I'm picking on everybody here. It's my problem also. You know, we come to Krishna. What does he say we come to him for? We want opulence. Right? We want wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, or renunciation. That's an opulence too. So we're coming to Krishna for that. I want to enjoy the world, like Dhruva came to Krishna, I want to enjoy the world. Or I'm just so tired of suffering. My back hurts, my foot hurts, my neck hurts. My wife's driving me crazy, my husband's driving me crazy, my mother-in-law's driving me crazy, my boss is driving me crazy, my kids are driving me crazy, the neighbor's daughter's driving me crazy. And I've had enough, I don't have enough money, my car's broken, whatever. I'm just tired of suffering, it's too much already. Just please, no more suffering, can I just have peace? Or we're coming to Krishna, Krishna, I'm curious, I want to know things. My dear Prabhupada says, Krishna, full of knowledge, I want to understand, how does the universe work? Who are you, and what am I? How does everything work? So these are the reasons that we're coming to Krishna. We want something for ourselves. And we're just smart enough to figure out that Krishna's the right place to get what we want. But that's not really serving Krishna, is it? If someone comes to us because they want something from us, that's not really serving us. So here when Prabhupada says Krishna consciousness is acting according to Krishna's order, most people who act according to the order of God do it because they want to get something from God. I mean, that's definitely a step up from people who don't follow Krishna's order at all. You know, the people who just do whatever they want and just think, well, I'm going to be happy in the world doing whatever I want. And some people realize, well, you know, if there's a God and he's running things, I should do things his way, and then I can get whatever I want. But the problem is, when you go to Krishna thinking that you're going to get something for yourself, then you're not really following Krishna's order at all. Because Krishna's order isn't just a series of rules. It isn't just a series of rules. Just like generally when I travel, I do my own laundry. Because I've had very bad experience with telling people how to do my laundry. They usually think I'm just being humble, and actually I'm not telling them how I really want my laundry done, and they know better than me how I should do my laundry. It happens all the time. I'll say, please don't iron my clothes, and they'll think, oh, she's just being humble. Actually, she really wants her clothes ironed. Iron them and then they'll ruin them. And they'll say, oh, that's why you didn't want your clothes ironed. And that's right. So if their purpose was not to serve me, if their purpose was to serve themselves, then they don't really follow my instructions. This is excessive. Because they're not really trying to please me. So actually, we've all had this experience where someone comes to us because they want something. And then we tell them, I like things this way. I like things. And then they don't listen. And you all have this experience? That you tell somebody, please do this. This is really important to me. Sometimes even in the family, sometimes even husband, wife, parents, and children, brothers and sisters, you say to the people you live with, this is really important to me. Can you please not do this? Or can you please do this? Please, it's really, important. And they keep doing it. Huh? We're not doing it. Yes? 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 This means they're not really serving you. And why are we not really serving? Because we're really serving ourselves. And when we're serving ourselves, we're not even so much aware of what the other person wants. We don't really hear them. It gets distorted through our own filters. And we think, well, they really meant to say this. Well, they really do like this. They really like it like that. So really following Krishna's orders is not even just reading the Shastra, what Krishna wants, but getting a relationship with Krishna as a person. Krishna's not just this rule giver, sort of impersonal rule giver, you know, Shastra creator. He's a person. And why does he have these rules? Why does he have his orders? So Prabhupada's giving a lot of hints here. He's giving these orders because he's very loving. He's our very best friend, and he knows everything. So he knows everything. He loves us. He's giving us orders to make us happy. Just like really following Krishna's orders means trying to make him happy. Well, Krishna's interest is really making us happy. And Krishna's not interested in making us happy in illusion, like you wouldn't want your child to become happy as a heroin addict. You know, that's not the kind of happiness you want for your child. If your child says, you know, well, I'm a thief and a heroin addict and I love my life, you wouldn't say, well, as long as you're happy, kid, it's okay. So Krishna doesn't say, well, I want you to be happy in illusion and suffering. He's saying, I want you to be genuinely happy, because he knows everything. He knows what will make us happy. Therefore, his orders are for our benefit. His orders are not some whimsical, dictatorial thing, well, I want you to do this and I want you to do that. And then because Krishna is the absolute truth, Sanchipanamdhini, meditate on the absolute truth, absolutely true. Anything Krishna orders is going to bring us into truth. It's going to be correct. There's not going to be any mistake. You know, if I ask an ordinary person, how do I do this? How do I do that? How do I go there? And they can say they may not know. Even if they're my friend, I'm talking about how Krishna's my friend. Krishna's my friend, but he also actually knows what to do. So everything's going to be authentic. What Krishna says you're going to get, if it says here, if you follow Krishna's orders, you're going to get opulence, extraordinary power, and victory, then you're really going to get those things. You know, in the world, they'll tell you if you want to be a success, study hard in school, get good grades, get a high status job, get a beautiful house, beautiful spouse, smart kids, big flat screen TV, BMW, and probably a dog. Right? And then you'll be successful, and you do all those things, and you say, what was that all about? Yes? After you do all that, maybe you can't even do all that, maybe you're really trying, but you still can't because it's not your karma. And if it's your karma, and you do all that, and you get all that, and you look around at your house, and you go, was that it? Because it's not authentic. It's not authentic. People tell you that's what will give you success, and that will make you happy, and you get it, and it doesn't. I mean, if it did, then 99% of the people who had those things would be happy, are they? Are 99% of the people who have a high status job and a big house and a flat screen TV and a dog and a beautiful spouse, are they happy? No, some of them are, sure, but 99%. Whereas when Krishna says, do this and you'll become happy, it's authentic, it's real. And it's real happiness, because Krishna is the absolute truth. When you follow his order, the happiness you experience is real. It touches the soul. Material happiness, as Krishna explains in the 5th chapter, the 13th chapter, we're just the observer. We're just the observer. It's like we're watching a movie of somebody being happy and thinking I'm happy by watching a movie of somebody being happy. It's not happening to us. It's just happening to the body, and you're observing. And also, Krishna's orders are real dharma. Talked about morality. Dharma, shaksha, dharma, pranitam. Dharma comes from God. Now you think that this would sort of be a duh, but we don't seem to get this in modern society at all. People think they can manufacture their own dharma, their own way of having morality, their own way of having fairness, their own way of having goodness, which is just as absurd as manufacturing your own government laws. You know, well, gosh, when I'm in America, we drive on the other side of the street, so I'm just going to do that here. You know, it doesn't work. You have to follow the government. Prabhupada says that a million times. And still we find that even people who come to the Hare Krishna movement think they can make up their own dharma. Well, I think Krishna would like this, they say. Why would Krishna like that? No, I think Krishna would like this. I don't want to give any particular examples. It'll be a little too cutting. But it's going on. And there's this one devotee who's a big teacher of Krishna consciousness who posted something publicly. Oh, isn't this lovely? And I said to him, well, this thing you're saying lovely is actually abominable. How are you a teacher of Dharma? And he says, well, I don't even know what Dharma is. And I said, well, how are you teaching it if you don't know what it is? He says, well, I think Krishna would like this. You know, this is just the same thing as somebody thinking, I like a DVD of an impersonalist guru that I can't even play. You know? And they're convinced that I would like it. So we become convinced Krishna must like this, and he must like that, and he must like the other thing. But what Krishna orders, that is real dharma. That is real dharma. What is dharma? It's the essence of something. The actual nature of something. We also talked about being authentic. What Krishna orders is what I really am. So I come sankaro dharma, yadokta bhaktiya hoste, hotikya bhaktita, yad yata supersivati. The real dharma is going to make me completely satisfied. When I do real dharma, I feel, yes, I am who I am. I'm in the right place, being completely satisfied. So that is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness isn't just something sentimental. It's not just I'm Krishna conscious. You know, you meet people like this. Oh, do you chant? Oh, I don't have to chant. I just have Krishna in my heart all the time. Why do people like that? And by the way, this isn't just, it happens to, you know, Christian devotees or Hindus. It happens in all religions of the world. Oh, many, many years ago, my God, like 39, 40 years ago, I remember meeting this one woman who came to our Sunday feast. And she said, well, I'm a devotee of Jesus. I said, well, that's lovely. I said, suppose you didn't tell me that you were a disciple of Jesus, and I just looked at your life for a week. How could I tell? She said, you couldn't. It's all in my heart. So this is very typical. You know, imagine if you had a friend like that. You know, someone says, I'm your friend. Okay, well, I really need a ride to the doctor today. Sorry, it's all in my heart. You know? So, but following the orders of Krishna, again, it's Krishna conscious, not something sentimental like that. Oh, I love Krishna. But also, it's not something just regimented and mechanical. Because again, you can't really understand somebody's orders unless you understand them. For example, in general, Krishna doesn't want us to lie. Why would the Supreme Absolute Truth want us to tell lies? That wouldn't make any sense. The Supreme Absolute Truth wants us to be truthful. Over and over again, the Bhagavad Gita, which talks about being truthful. So you might think, okay, well, Krishna's orders are to be truthful, but sometimes Krishna doesn't want you to be truthful. Like he told you this year, please say, Asuras on this day, and you're just like, I can't, I have to be truthful. So that isn't following Krishna's orders either. Like one time Prabhupada went to a devotee and said, you're eating too much, you need to eat less. And the devotee said, but Prabhupada, you always told me to eat more. And Prabhupada said, well, did you believe me then? So believe me now. You know, I sometimes give this example that one of my nephews, he was not in Krishna consciousness in another religion, but he was a brahmachari, he was living in a brahmachari ashram, and he had his guru. And at one point he went to his guru and said, I want to get married. So his guru said to him, okay, up until now, you haven't looked at any women. He said, but if I introduce you to a nice girl, you have to look at her. And this is what Krishna says is the problem with the impersonalists. Everything's mine, everything's mine. And when Krishna comes, I don't want to look at him. So the point is that you may get one instruction one time and another instruction another time. What's proper dharma when you're a brahmachari is not proper dharma when you're a rasta, which is not proper dharma when you're a non-rasta. These things change in life. What's the instruction for you may be different from the instruction for you. It's not just something mechanical. And there's certain instructions for everybody. No meat, fish, no eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, chant Hare Krishna. But otherwise, things are very individual. We're dealing with the person. So it's not just some sentimentality, and it's also not something mechanical and fanatic. It's not just some rituals, not just you do some rituals like Krishna's machine. Like here, I have this little machine. You know, I have this machine, so if I push one button, it starts, and I push another button, it stops. And I push another button, it rewinds, and another one, it records. So Krishna's not like that. It's not like, well, if I just move my fingers on these beads and say the mantra, then Krishna will have to come. Like I push a button on my computer. It's about a relationship. It's about a relationship. So first of all, it's not about giving Krishna what I think he wants. It's about what's finding out what he actually wants. Then it's not about being sentimental. It's about really following. And then it's not about following ritualistically or mechanically. It's about following as a personal relationship. And eventually it should be following as a personal relationship simply to make Krishna happy, not to get anything for myself other than knowing that I've made Krishna happy. The devotee also has desires, you know. Pure devotees also have desires, but the desires of the devotee, Prabhupada says, is to see Krishna smile. This is all the residents of Vrindavan, they just want to see Krishna smile. That's their happiness. That's their nothingness. So how do we know what Krishna wants? Krishna consciousness is acting according to Krishna's order. How do we know Krishna's order? And you can come here and, what's your order? You know, but Krishna doesn't necessarily come down and drive our chariot. At least he hasn't driven my chariot for a while anyway. I'll get in my car and there's Krishna in the driver's seat, you know, telling me what to do. Any of you have Krishna to drive your chariot? I give you a clear order. You know, Krishna's saying to Arjuna, get out and fight. So how do we know what Krishna's order is? How do we find out? Bhagavad Gita, okay, very good. But if I read Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's going to tell Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita to get up and fight with the Kurus. That's not going to do me any good because I don't know any Kurus. I don't have a Gandhita bow. Must put it somewhere. So that order to Arjuna, that specific order to Arjuna, isn't going to be relevant for me, is it? Just like when Krishna showed Arjuna the universal form. And he told Arjuna, I'm going to show you the things you're particularly interested in. And Arjuna saw the soldiers that were on the battlefield going into Krishna's mouth. So if Krishna showed me the universal form, he wouldn't show me that because I'm not interested in Bhishma and Karna going into the mouth of the universal form, am I? That's not my question. I don't go to Krishna with that question. Krishna, what's going to happen to Karna? Right? That's not my interest. So how do I know what Krishna's orders are? How do I know what Krishna's orders are? Well, first place you go, of course, is Shastra. So you do go to Bhagavad Gita, and at least you get the general principles from the Shastra, don't you? I mean, we can get Pajra Patram, Pushpam, Pumchayami, Omi Bhakti, Prashti, Tadam, Bhakti, Paritam, Ashimi, and Paritam. We get Sarvadharma, Pritijam, Omi, Kamsharam, and Pritijam. We get Manmana, Bhagavad Bhakti, Omajiti, Omi, Masuna, Medashishi, Tadam, Akhanam, Omi, Omi. We get those kind of words. Maya Shaktam and Amparta, always think of me with attachment, always think of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances. We have these general instructions, whatever you do, whatever you eat, offer that to me, just surrender to me, always think of me with attachment. The greatest yogi, yogi, amapi, sarvesham, makatenanto, shakram, vegetable, salamitishan, katana. The greatest yogi is one who's always thinking me. Do everything with faith, the shraya, tam 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 tam. Whatever you do, do it with faith in the Supreme. Okay, we got those general principles, and then we got all those wonderful instructions about the modes of material nature. So we can understand, okay, let's see, when I do charity, I should give to the right person at the right time in the right place because I really want to, not because I'm being obligated or somebody's forcing me or putting a guilt trip on me and I shouldn't have any regret afterwards. And I should give just for the sake of giving without wanting anything back. Okay, we've got, and you can look at all the modes of nature and see that I see everyone as a soul, right? But that may not give me help with, okay, what do I do now? Do I get a degree in electrical engineering or do I get a degree in linguistics? Or maybe I don't get a degree at all. Do I stay in Durban or do I go to Vrindavan? Do I get married or do I not get married? Do I have 10 children or 20 children or 2 children or no children? Right? What do I cook today? Do I make lasagna or do I make, you know, parathas? So the scripture doesn't give us that kind of advice, right? So what do we do for that? Understanding Krishna's orders. So then, of course, the next step, we look at the sadhus. And we see the sadhus, what do they do? How do they take the principles of the shastra and live them in their lives? The sadhus really give, how would you say, they make the shastra real for us. You know, when we read in this shastra, Sarvadharma, Purushajava, Mekam, Sharanam, Java, what does that mean? Give up all dharma? Does that mean I become immoral and unethical? And, you know, what does that mean? And then we look at the lives of the sadhus that we've been talking about in Phoenix, forgiveness and humility. We're talking about forgiveness again here tomorrow night, Krishna. So if we want to know, what does humility mean? Like someone just wrote me a letter today, we're trying to teach my child to be humble, and the result of that is all the other kids in school beat him up. So I'm thinking, well, they don't really know what humility is. So if you want to know when Krishna says be truthful, Krishna says be humble, Krishna says surrender, what does that mean? So you look at the sadhus, how do they do that? How have the sadhus lived in other in situations similar to mine. And there's so many sadhus. And then finally, guru. So of course there's also many gurus. We have our Diksha gurus, Shiksha gurus, we have the previous acharyas, maybe our gurus. But guru will tell us according to Desh Kalapati, according to time, place, and circumstance. This is how you follow Krishna's orders, in keeping in line with the sadhus and in following the shastra. So that's our first way of telling what is Krishna's order. We have this fence. Now thankfully it's a very big fence. Prabhupada says Krishna consciousness is not narrow or stereotyped. In fact, people who follow Krishna's orders in one sense are totally out of the fence. Those of us in the material world who are restricted, we're held down to the planet by gravity. We're the ones who didn't follow Krishna's orders. Whereas the residents of the spiritual world, they can go wherever they want. They don't have any fence. But when you stay inside this protection, shall we say, what's in the shastra? How is it exemplified by the sadhus? What is the order of the guru? Then you know I'm following Krishna's order. But with that might not, still there might be some situation where it's hard to tell what is Krishna's order. So then we look Bhagavad Gita 9.2, Rajvija Rajaniya, Pavitram Idabutam, Pratyaksha Bhagavam Dharmam Susukam Kartamatiya. It should be experienced. It should be experienced, susukam. When you follow Krishna's order, you should experience. You should experience. What was that list again? Nice list. What was that again? Everybody remember? Opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. And happiness, susukam bhartam. You should be experiencing this. Krishna says in the mode of goodness, all the gates of the body are illumined by knowledge. If you say, I'm following Krishna's order, I'm following the shastra, I'm following the sadhus, I'm following the guru, but you're miserable and you're angry and you're frustrated, and you feel like all the gates of the body are plugged up with cotton and you can't see anything, then you're probably not following Krishna's order. Because it's not how it works. It's ultimately, it's experiential. What is the supreme secret, the supreme knowledge? It's experiential. And what ultimately will one be experiencing? Not just that you feel like you're all illumined with knowledge, not just that you're full of happiness, not just that you're full of peace, not just that you feel like you're full of opulence and victory and extraordinary power, but you'll feel a loving relationship with Krishna. And that will gradually awaken to a very specific loving relationship with Krishna. To start realizing, Krishna is my friend, or my son, or my beloved. And if those things are happening, then you know I'm following Krishna's order. And if they're not happening, then you're not following Krishna's order. It's pretty simple. Then you may think you're following Krishna's order, like those two people in two different cities who gave me DVDs of their non-Krishna conscious gurus that I couldn't play on my computer. One of them after hearing me talk about the other one. Amazing, isn't it? So they thought they were serving me. They really did, genuinely. I mean, if you went to them and said, you know, they probably, oh, I gave Ramila a nice present. But they weren't serving me. And the ultimate evidence is we didn't have any kind of connection. I couldn't be authentic with them, could I? I had to just smile and say, thank you. Right? I couldn't be authentic. I couldn't really have a connection with them. So if we're really pleasing Krishna, we will feel that connection. We will experience that connection. There will be symptoms in our life of having experienced that connection. What are some of the symptoms? The experience we talked about, all the gates of the body illumined by knowledge. I'm being happy. Let's look at some of these other symptoms. Not envious, being a kind friend to all living entities, does not think himself a proprietor, free from false ego, equal in happiness and distress, tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled. He by whom no one is put into difficulty, who is not disturbed by anyone, equal poise in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety. Not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, not striving for some result, neither rejoices nor grieves, neither laments nor desires, renounces both auspicious and inauspicious, equal to friends and enemies, equal. equal poison, honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, always silent, satisfied with anything, doesn't care for any residents. Those are the sort of symptoms that will come out in our lives when we're actually following the orders of Krishna. So people tend to make several mistakes in this. One mistake people make is to be fanatic. I'm following the orders of Krishna. How can I be so angry and irritable and frustrated then? I'm following them better than you. That's funny. If you follow the order on your GPS, you ought to have gotten to your destination. What destination are you at? So that's one. It's one kind of niyamagraha. You're following, but you forget that it's about a relationship with the person. And the other is, you're not, oh, I follow Krishna's order, I always think about Krishna. Do you do anything he says? Oh, I don't know, I always think about Krishna. But that doesn't get you anywhere either. We're making up our own system, you know, because one should be following Krishna's orders in good times and in bad times. And sometimes when there's good times, we think, well, why should I have to follow Krishna's order now? Everything's going nicely for me in my life. You know, I'm just kind of floating around. I don't have to follow Krishna's order. And other times when people are in bad times, they think, well, where's Krishna? If he was really here for me, then I wouldn't have these bad times. I'll forget about Krishna's order. I'll go and do my tantric puja to the Buddhas in my backyard. You know, so there's... following Krishna's order means with faith. It means with faith that Krishna is my best friend, that Krishna knows everything, that Krishna is trying to make me happy, and that following Krishna's order is not something mechanical, it's not something fanatic, or it's something sentimental. It's about ultimately having a loving relationship with Krishna, which is what we all want. It's really what everybody wants. It's really what everybody is looking for. But at least those of us sitting in this room, we know that's what we're looking for. So if we do that, it's not that Arjuna is like a different category of being than any of us. We are all equally souls like Arjuna. And if we also follow Krishna's order, then we will be fully conscious of Krishna. Our lives will be full not just with material opulence, which they may or may not be full of, but our lives will be full of all spiritual opulence. We will really have all victory. We will feel ourselves always successful. Even when externally other people may judge us as not successful, we will feel in that connection with Krishna that we are successful. We will feel that extraordinary power of the extraordinary talent that Krishna has given to each one of us, used in his service, and the power not of controlling other people, manipulating other people, and manipulating material energy, which is what kind of power most people want. We will feel the power of a loving relationship with Krishna. Of course, Prabhupada says here that Krishna will even give himself to his devotees. When Krishna knows that that he can trust us, you know, a lot of us struggle with, can I trust Krishna? Well, we don't think that Krishna said, hey, can I trust you? When Krishna knows that he can trust us, that if he tells us not to iron his clothes, we won't iron them. You know? That we're really going to do what he says because, not because then I'm a very righteous person, better than you, or not because we think that way we'll be able to manipulate Krishna, but just because we love him and we want to please him. Then, my dear friends, Krishna will give us himself. Krishna will give us himself. Prabhupada says that the devotee holds Krishna in the palm of his hand. So we're trying to have a society where we're all following Krishna's orders. So each of us, maybe we can think, I'm sure, at least for some of us, that we know there's some order of Krishna that we don't really have together, huh? I think most of us, we find some orders of Krishna really easy. We say, oh yeah, I can do that, and we've just been doing it, and some are really difficult, and some are kind of in the middle, and those are different for each one of us. You know, what I find really easy, you might find hard, and what you find really easy, I might find hard. But maybe we can take one of those things, maybe we don't have to take one of the really hard things, maybe we can take one of those things that's kind of in the middle for us, some order of Krishna that is not really easy for us, and we struggle with it a little bit, but not one of those really hard things that seems overwhelming. And maybe over the next week, we can say, at least for this week, I'm going to follow that order of Krishna. And to follow that order of Krishna, remembering that Krishna is a person, and follow that word of Krishna just to make Krishna happy. I'm going to try to pick up not only the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. I'm going to follow according to the Shastra, the Sadhu, and the Guru without any excuses. I'm really going to give myself like that to Krishna for this week. And if each of us kept doing that, then eventually we'd all be following Krishna's order. And if we were all following Krishna's order, we'd all be in Krishna consciousness. And if we'd all be in Krishna consciousness, then our whole Hare Krishna society would be full of extraordinary opulence, victory, power, and morality. And then we wouldn't even notice anymore that we're in the material world. So I think we have some questions here. Relationships. You spoke of relationships of various kinds in the material world, and that we need to serve others to please them. Do we have to always actually please others? Where's the space for me as an individual? No, I wasn't saying that. I was just giving that as an example. I wasn't saying that we always have to please everybody. In fact, oh my goodness, should I say please or not? So when we saw Prabhupada in 1976, my oldest son was just a little child, about a year and a half. He was sitting on my lap. And my Srila Prabhupada looked at me and he said, just like this mother is loving her child without any expectation of reward, in the same way we should love Krishna. So my father asked Srila Prabhupada, will loving her child help her to love Krishna? Prabhupada said, no. But loving Krishna will help her to love her child. He said, just like if you eat good food, you have good eyesight, but if you try to put the food in your eyes, you will become blind. So I can't really do this justice in a minute or two, but no, you really shouldn't try to please anyone but Krishna. Only Krishna, only Krishna. Don't please anyone but Krishna. Now, if you're only trying to please Krishna, you will also treat everybody else very nicely, because that's what pleases Krishna. But you will not treat anybody else nicely to try to please them. You will treat others nicely to try to please Krishna. It's a subtle difference, but it makes a huge difference in your life. It gives you complete freedom. Gives you complete freedom. So again, I don't have time to go into this in depth, and some of you are looking at me like, I am crazy. So I'll try to explain this a little bit. Just like, you know, sometimes you're doing something, not because you want to do it, but because you want to impress somebody else who's watching. Has anybody done that? Yes, you're doing something and you're really concerned with how somebody else is judging you. And that's why you're doing it. So that, my friends, is how we should do everything. Krishna's watching. Is Krishna watching? Is he watching? I mean, right here, he's watching. But he's in our heart, right? Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridayasyadhyasthiti. He's in your heart, and then he's in all the atoms. Paramanu, he's in the atom, he's in every atom, he's watching, he's listening. So if you're talking to your wife, please don't try to please your wife. First of all, you will not succeed all the time. You just won't. You know, trying to please your husband. It is, you know, on Monday you make lasagna, and he goes, wow, lasagna! And you think, oh, he really likes it. So Tuesday you make lasagna, and he says, 2 days in a row. You know, you can't always please another jiva. It doesn't work. I can't be Krishna. We get reminded of this all the time. I can't be Krishna for you guys. I can't please you all the time. I'm not the capability. I'm just a little jiva. I have, like, this thing has a little battery in it, but I can't light the temple with it. Right, what everybody wants is Krishna. So I can't please you. I'm not capable of pleasing you. I can please you a little bit, sometimes, to some extent. That's it. I can't please you. I don't have the ability to please you. Nor can anyone else other Jesus please me. I cannot please my husband, my wife, my mother, my father, my mother-in-law, my boss, the other person on the train. I can't. I don't have the ability. Isn't that nice? I don't have to try to be God anymore. What a relief. Because I'm not God. I can't do it. But I can please Krishna. He's satisfied very easily. I can deal with my wife, my husband, my mother-in-law, the other person on the train, in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. And whether or not the other person is pleased is irrelevant. do not fight for the sake of fighting without considering gain or loss, victory or defeat. Yes? What do you think that means? You think that just means shooting arrows? That means how you treat your kid. That means how you treat your mother-in-law. It means how you treat your boss. Don't think about victory or defeat, success or failure, gain or loss. Do it as an offering for Krishna. And the example that I always give is to be a secret agent. So if you're a secret agent for South Africa, you go into another country. So you get a job, right? But are you really there to work that job?
No.
And who's paying your salary? Your boss at that job?
No.
Your government back home is paying your salary, yes? And you're always thinking, how do I do my government's business? Now, you work your job very nicely, but you're always thinking, how do I do my government's business? So please, quit all your other jobs, my dear friends. Give up all your other identities. Sarvabhadi, Vinyamutam, Paratayam, Nirmala, Rishikesha, Rishikena, Sevanam, Bhakti, Uchite. Please, stop being a husband, a father, a mother, a wife, a mother-in-law, a father-in-law, a grandmother, a son, a daughter, a South African citizen, an Indian American. Stop it. It's all nonsense. It has nothing to do with us. Play the game, but really be Krishna's servant. Be a husband, a father, a mother-in-law, a South African as a secret agent. Really work for Krishna. Work for Krishna's company. What does Krishna's company sell? What's the product?
Prema.
Krishna's company is selling love of God. How'd you like to work for that company? Sound good? A lot better than working for the bank. Work for Krishna. Then you're selling love of God. And then it may look like you're working for the bank, but you're not. You're working for Krishna. And then what is everybody else? They may look like your husband or your mother-in-law or your son or your boss or your professor, but you're not. What are they? Well, maybe they're a co-worker in the business of love of God. Maybe they're a supplier of love of God. Maybe they're a customer in the business of love of God. And maybe they're a potential customer in the business of love of God. And that's how you treat them. You have to figure out what they are. It's not necessarily that your husband or your wife is a co-worker. They might be your customer, or they might be your supplier. You've got to figure out, what is this person? Are they a supplier of love of God? Are they a co-worker in the business of love of God? Are they a customer in the love of God business? Or are they a potential customer? And then treat them very nicely. To please them? No, to please your boss. You got it? Does everybody got that? If you do your best to please a customer and the customer isn't pleased, your boss still pays your salary, yes? Yeah. Krishna's easy to please. Krishna's not difficult to please. Trying to please your mother-in-law and your son and your boss is impossible. You will please them sometimes to some extent, but that's it. Isn't that true? And if you sacrifice your whole life pleasing other jivas, you will at the end be very bitter and disappointed because you will fail. Because you're not Krishna, I'm not Krishna. It's not just your problem, it's also my problem. Okay. Different religions have different concepts of dharma, so if they don't follow Krishna, are they lost? Yes. But, I mean, God is God. It's not like the people who call God by another name are not following God. But Krishna says, if you're doing something without faith in God, it's basically useless. As Prabhupada translates it, useless in this life and the next. And Krishna says here in the 18th chapter, right before the verses we read, he said, if you act on false ego, not hearing me, you'll be lost. Yes. You're lost in the samsara, you're lost in the banyan tree. But Prabhupada isn't saying that only the people in the Hare Krishna movement are connected with God. That's ridiculous. First of all, some people who are ostensibly in the Hare Krishna movement are not connected with God. I'm sorry to give you this news, but it happens to be a fact. And there are people outside the Hare Krishna movement who are connected with God. I mean, this is very shocking news, I'm sure to some of us, but you know, it is possible to be connected with God. If you think that only people are in the Hare Krishna movement are connected with God, that is one of the definitions of the Kanista Adhikari, who thinks God is only in the temple. And the really low Kanista Adhikari thinks God is only in my temple. That's like the Sunnis and the Shiites who shoot each other because they have the wrong mosque. God's only in my mind. So please don't think like that. So there are people connected with God in other religions. Of course they are. It's the same God. And Krishna's giving the same basic instruction in the Bible that says, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. When Jesus was asked what's the main commandment, he said to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. He said the second commandment, which is like the first, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the problem is that most people in these religions have lost their way. Adhyutanam adharmasya. Dharma becomes adharma. And that, my dear friends, has happened in our tradition also. Bhakti Vinod Thakur came, Gaudiya Vaishnavism had become mostly adharma. People were engaged in horrible activities in the name of following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who studied history. And Bhaktivinoda had to come and restore the purity of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. That has to happen over and over and over again, like you have to clean your house over and over again. So in every religious system, things have to constantly be restored. And it's a shame that right now most religions in the world today are teaching just simply bhakti and mukti. They're teaching come to God and be happy in the world, or come to God for salvation. Very, very few religions are teaching love God. Very, very few religions are teaching love God. That's rare. But the religion itself is teaching that. The ministers, the priests, and the imams may not be teaching that, but the founders of the religion are certainly teaching that. So we have to look on an individual basis. So just like all the schools, all the bona fide schools, are all teaching truth in mathematics. It's not that one school teaches 2 plus 2 is 5. But some schools are teaching at a very low level, and some schools are teaching at a very high level. And sometimes a person in a low-level school is functioning at a high level, right? Sometimes a kid in primary school is doing PhD-level mathematics, and there are some people in Harvard that are just getting drunk, and they're not going to graduate. So, you know, we do find very realized people, even in lower systems of education, and we do find people functioning at a low level in higher systems of religion. So we look for the fruits. Just like Jesus said, judge by the fruits. The prophet also said the same thing. It was one disciple in the 70s who wanted to start his own movement. Indeed, he did start his own movement. And Prabhupada said, yes, a tree can be beautiful if it has many branches, but make sure that the fruits taste the same. So the way we know if somebody, how do we know if somebody really following the orders of Krishna? Ultimately, you know by the fruits. Ultimately, you know by the fruits. Therefore, this description of the symptoms of a sadhu is given throughout the Shastra. Second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, how does he speak? What is his language? How does he say? How does he walk? Krishna gives a description of a sadhu. 12th chapter, which I just read part of that. Krishna gives that description. 14th chapter, Krishna gives that description. And then little bits here and there, Vijayavarasamhani, Ramani, Gaviyasthi, Sumcharasvakita, Pandita, Samadarshana. That's a description of what is, how do you judge whether or not somebody is following the orders of Krishna. We have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who told Sanatana Goswami, I think it's Sanatana Rupa, the 9 symptoms of somebody in bhava. So these are symptoms. Lord Kapiladeva gives the 26 qualities of the devotee. So if you see somebody who has all those symptoms, even if they may be, you know, the Sri Sampradaya, or they may be following Jesus or whatever, then you know they're following the orders of Krishna. That's pretty, it's a pretty simple thing. This is not some kind of mysterious thing. And one of the things I really like about Srila Prabhupada is he's not at all sectarian. So thank you very much. May we all follow the orders of Krishna and become full of opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and loyalty. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for that wonderful presentation. Just some information about this program. Tomorrow there will be a writing.